This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Bonnie North. The Milwaukee Short Film Festival takes place this Friday and Saturday. It is the festival's 21st anniversary, and founder and filmmaker Ross Bigley says each year the festival becomes more well-known, with films coming in from around the world. This year, there is also a panel discussion on Saturday afternoon that's put on by the Wisconsin Entertainment Lawyers Association, or WELA. The panelists will offer advice to anyone wanting to make independent films, and as you can imagine, there is a lot of work a filmmaker needs to do before ever picking up a camera. Robert Arthur is the founder and president of WELA. He joins Ross Bigley in the studio with me and says that a lot of people are surprised Wisconsin even has entertainment lawyers at all.
New York and Chicago and not very far beyond that. And the fact is there are people practicing entertainment law here, such as myself, in Milwaukee and in other places in Wisconsin. We want more people to know that we exist and that that level of expertise is right here.
What are some of the things that this panel you're hoping to give to the filmmakers and wannabe filmmakers? You know, what are some of the things that people need to know?
Well, I think a lot of times when people start doing films, especially these kinds of short films, it's been my experience talking to people who have exhibited at the film festival in the past that they get into it, at least for the first time, and they don't realize that they're really starting a business, that each film is a really discrete business by itself. It has a mission. There are people that come together to make a film, usually, and there are certain things that you need to take care of ideally on the front end of that so that when you have a finished film and you're attempting to market it or sell it to other people, you have the necessary things that the people that want to buy those films are going to want to see, like releases. There are certain agreements that you're going to want to have with the people that helped make the film, all those kinds of things. To us, they're very simple things, but I think a lot of people just don't think about them.
And Ross, did you find that's the case, that a lot of filmmakers that you're working with just have no idea about that part of it?
I would say that is very true for the most part. There's actually local filmmakers who've been doing this for a while. Kind of you learn through the steps. I learned through the steps, too. When we made a Western a few years ago in South Dakota, we had to form an LLC just particularly for that project. You know, you have to cover yourself with agreements, leases, like Robert said. You have to make sure things are licensed. If you are shooting, like, say, at a actual location, you have to make sure you have that in writing. You have to make sure that the decorations are approved, that, say, there might be some wall art. It's things people don't consider that we have to get that permission from
the artist.
The artist that's in the film, too, you know.
Right, and you don't want the stray Coke can sitting there because then that could be a violation.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly right. And, well, for example, if I have somebody contact me and say, well, you know, I've got a finished film and I really like it. There's this song in it, though, that's a key part of a scene, and it's by Drake. And I really want to be able to use that. And I can't really substitute it out because the character refers to it in the scene and we've already shot it. I have some bad news for that person, and that is they're probably not going to get the rights to that song by Drake.
You should have thought of that before. Yeah.
So that's a difficult thing to talk about. And if we can have those conversations on the beginning, then it becomes a heck of a lot easier for that filmmaker.
What you said about having to think of each film as a discrete business, I had never thought of it that way. And that is just such a good way, because from beginning to end, this particular entity is the business.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it has a beginning and it'll have an eventual end. And you need to kind of understand that particular business has formalities that you need to follow, in depending on the state in which you're forming it, because businesses are formed in state law. And so that's the first decision. Is it a Wisconsin business? Are you filming it in other places? Do you have investors in other states where maybe it would be best to have that? There's all kinds of business types considerations, and then intellectual property considerations and licensing considerations. These don't have to be long conversations, but if you involve somebody like me on the beginning of it, then the conversations get a lot easier.
I think a lot of people also, particularly if they're a young filmmaker, somebody who's working independently, completely divorced from any kind of studio support or anything like that, they might also think, I can't afford this. I can't afford to hire you, Robert, to put you on retainer to be my lawyer to make sure that all of the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. How do you work with folks who are at the beginning of their careers who don't have those kinds of funds?
When I said the conversations don't have to be extensive, oftentimes an hour with me will answer a lot of questions, and that might be all that person needs. And then I would say, okay, go make your film. If somebody comes calling and really likes your film and we need to talk about more extensive agreements and things like that, then I think that's an appropriate thing to do at that time, because then you know you have money on the table or there's money possible, right? Because a lot of times these things are made with volunteers and nobody's really making any money until there's money to be made. And I'm perfectly fine in a lot of cases with just having an hour and a half with somebody at my hourly rate, or I can do a flat fee or something like that. All of the people in the Wisconsin Entertainment Lawyers Association, those of us that deal with film, we all understand what kind of industry there is in Wisconsin. This is not LA. And so we're not expecting to just start raking in the money from the Wisconsin film industry, because that's not going to happen in a lot of instances. There are people who are doing great projects and they're doing really well here, but there's a whole lot of people that might do well in the future that they're not making any money now. They're doing, you know, other things. So we understand that.
Well, and that's just nice to know that, you know, that flexibility exists, that
yes.
It's not the L.A. model of like, okay, you know, you got to put me on retainer and we're talking millions and millions of dollars.
Right, and I want 2% of your film and things
right.
like that. I'm not going to do that. I don't know of any of us that would. We want relationships with people who are going to be making films over and over and over again. So building a relationship as an attorney is, well, I do it in my small business practice as well. It's over time. You're making an investment with people.
Right. Which, of course, that's the arts are all about that too. They have to be, because for most people in the arts, there isn't a lot of money. A few, like the 1 or 2% at the very top, are making money, but the rest of the people are doing it because they love what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very true.
So, Ross, as you are thinking about what's happening after this one panel, is this something that you're going to continue to make available to people throughout the year, you know, connections to Robert and the rest of the association?
Yeah. What we do with Film Festival is we actually have someone that's actually going to shoot the panel. And that will be available. Robert will have a copy too, and all that they can refer to. Robert's information is going to be up on our website too.
So what are the kinds of questions that Robert is likely to get?
There's a growing trend in documentary filmmaking here. We get a lot of documentaries from the Marquette Institute, and people might ask questions about fair use, rights on a subject without asking that subject. Like, do you want to cover a figure but not necessarily interview them, like do a history of them? So that might come up in conversations, like how do you handle a situation like that?
Okay. And how would you? Say we wanted to do something about the late Vel Phillips. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. We wanted to do a documentary about her history in this state. She's no longer here.
As a lawyer, my best advice is to get permission from her estate. And that's the easiest thing for me to advise to do. It may not be the easiest thing to accomplish. And there may be other reasons why you wouldn't want to do that. Specifically for Vel Phillips, I don't know a scenario why you wouldn't want to let the estate know. But if you didn't want to, there are exceptions in copyright law that deal with newsworthiness. So news organizations that are producing like news informative products explaining about a subject, your traditional news type subjects. Well, that's an exception. It goes into First Amendment rights of freedom of the press. It's quite complicated.
But I was going to say it's kind of like us having the conversation. It's
right.
protected because it's a news program.
That's right.
Right.
So there are protections there for news gathering and news reporting. There's another consideration, though, and that is that Ms. Phillips has publicity rights. And those vary by state. Wisconsin has a particularly weak publicity rights doctrine. And a contrast would be like New York or California, where they have quite strong publicity rights doctrines that extend past a person's death. So a person who is deceased in California has a certain right to their name and likeness that passes or that surpasses death, that their estate then administers. So we would have to talk about their risk for that reason, for publicity rights reasons.
Okay.
And it really depends on the circumstances of where the film is going to be shot, who's going to be appearing in it. There may be no problem at all. It's actually more important as to where the film is going to be distributed. If it's going to be shown only once, maybe on a local cable channel, then that's a whole different story than if you're going to sell it to Netflix.
I was going to say, yeah, distribution, I'm sure, has a whole nother layer on that because of the various distribution channels now. I mean, it's not just going to a film festival. You know, it's being on, like you say, Netflix, or it's on Hulu, or it's
Amazon Prime,
right. Or it's on YouTube, or
right.
whatever it might happen to be. There are so many possibilities now that I am sure all have their own particular rules.
They do. And in a perfect world, you'd see all that coming and you would plan for it. In a lot of instances now, you're dealing with things as they come up, especially with YouTube and with other types of distribution. You really don't know necessarily what the specific issues are going to be like until it starts becoming popular.
Ross, when you first started making films, did you ever think we would be in this place where we'd have to think about all of these things before we even like went out and filmed our first scene?
I don't want to say I'm all-knowing, but I did have an inclination that there was some responsibility because being a filmmaker, I'm also a film lover, and I've listened to commentary tracks. That was kind of my film school, too, a little bit, and I've heard people discuss what they had to do to do things. So I had a inclination that you do have to cover yourself a little bit. I didn't know the extent of how much you had to cover it.
And the various things
yeah.
that are now, we had a futurist on just the other day who was saying that the kids who are in kindergarten now, we can't even imagine the jobs they're going to have when they graduate high school. And so it's sort of the same thing
mm-hmm.
with filmmaking. It's changed so much just in the last 20 years.
In the last five.
Even more so,
yeah.
The rate of change is only accelerating, it seems. And so I think lawyers probably are having to play a little catch-up too.
Yes. I mean, we do our best to stay on top of all the various things, but a lot of it now with digital distribution is you're not necessarily dealing with U.S. copyright law. You're dealing with contract and terms of service that are imposed by the various outlets, and those can change. Well, whenever the outlet wants to. And so you're dealing with individual things like distribution. The legal issues of distribution through YouTube are quite a bit different than the legal issues of distribution through Netflix or through Amazon Prime or through anything else that happens to pop up in the next year. It's going to change, and it requires almost constant review of those kinds of issues. But I don't want to make it seem all that scary. That's really what we're here for. And like I said, an hour and a half with me or one of the other entertainment lawyers in the state of Wisconsin would do a lot to educate a given filmmaker on their particular situation, because it really depends.
Well, I want to thank both of you so much for talking about this. It's such an important topic, and it's one that I don't think we've ever covered on this show. Very quickly, Ross, what are you looking forward to most in the film festival?
Well, I think Voices Heard is still one of our better slots. It's always well intended. We have a surprising amount of female filmmakers this time, like 29, over half are
films. That's fantastic.
Yeah. We're seeing trends happening where we're getting more diverse filmmakers, more female filmmakers submitting to us than ever before, too. We have a lot of Marquette filmmakers like Kristen Holodack with Grandpa's Getaway, Mallory Winkler with Era Sierra. We have UWM filmmakers like Kyle Gustafson with Fundamentals of Art. There is really good international films. Mascot is from Korea, Leah Kim. It's about an animal. It's an animated film. An animal that his goal is to be a mascot for a city. And his dreams and desires might not happen, but it's his trials and tribulations of his really good film, I thought. So there's a lot of stuff in our film festival I think everyone's going to enjoy.
Cool. And Robert, for you, you looking forward to Voices Heard again?
Oh, very much. It's always fantastic to see everybody again. It's kind of, there's some of the same people that do that. Reuben Whitmore got me involved in it when I was teaching at the Art Institute of Milwaukee, Art Institute of Wisconsin, excuse me. So I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to the panel. If you're interested in film and film business, you should come to the panel, definitely. So the website for the Wisconsin Entertainment Lawyers Association is entlaw.org, so entlaw.org. And the time of the panel is 3 p.m. on Saturday, September 7th.
Perfect. Again, gentlemen, I want to thank you both for coming in. Best of luck with the festival. I am sorry I am missing it this year. I'm going to be out of town on a conference, but I know it's going to be great, and we'll talk again next year.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Robert Arthur is an entertainment lawyer in Milwaukee and the founder of the Wisconsin Entertainment Lawyers Association, or WELA. Ross Bigley is the founder and director of the Milwaukee Short Film Festival and also the president of the Milwaukee Independent Film Society. The Short Film Festival takes place this Friday and Saturday at the Fox Bay Cinema. There is more information at wuwm.com.